When Jesus released his faith in the Garden of Gethsemane, the victory was won. Join Kenneth Copeland and Rick Renner on today's Believer's Voice of Victory and learn how Jesus redeemed mankind from sin and proclaimed the victory for the ages to come.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, sir. We give you praise and honor. We open our hearts. We open our minds. We open our eyes and ears. Oh, we receive from heaven. And we thank you today. Father, thank you for sending Rick Renner to us today. We receive him. You said when you were on the earth, if we receive whom you send, we receive you. Well, sir, we receive Rick Renner. We receive his anointing today. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Amen. Rick, bless you, sir.
Thank you.
Oh, I tell you, I'm enjoying this, man.
Thank you. It's been really rich.
Oh, it's just so rich. It stirs up. I mean, like the guys on the road to Emmaus, and they didn't recognize Jesus. Well, they weren't expecting to see him, but they didn't recognize him. But he began to reveal a word to him, to them. They said, didn't our hearts burn in us? Oh, that's what's happening to me right now. My spirit's burning, man. I'm on fire. I won't go preach something. Glory to God. My bones get on fire. And you can be that same way if you're not already. All you have to do is say, sir, I receive it. Yeah, but Brother Copeland, you don't know what all I've done. What does that have to do with anything? It's what Jesus has done. All that's behind you. Repent of it and let's go on. Praise God. Amen. Mm. Well, it just can't be that easy. Jesus did all the hard part, sweetheart. He did everything but pray you a prayer. He said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He said, learn this of me. In other words, he fought the fight, he defeated hell, he defeated the devil, he took everything he had away from him. Jesus is Lord. And when you receive him as Lord and Savior, or if you already have him as your Lord and Savior, take it! Take advantage of it! Don't let the devil remind you of what you did yesterday. Remind him of what he did yesterday, and he doesn't have any future. He's a liar and the father of it. And you can just laugh and rejoice and get right back on track. Glory to God. Man, I'm Amen. Excited, Rick. That's the gospel, man.
That is the gospel.
Yeah, that's what this is all about. Hell's been whipped, or as we say in Texas, it's been whooped. And if you've been whooped, boy, that's worse than getting whipped. Get us in here, man.
Well, I want to go back to where we were yesterday. We were talking about events that occurred in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Garden of Gethsemane, there was so much activity in the Garden of Gethsemane. I mean, all the way from Jesus praying, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. You know, Brother Copeland, I think about Jesus understood the cup that he was about to drink. Mm-hmm. And nobody would want to drink of that cup.
Oh, Lord, no.
And Jesus prayed it three times. Three different times he prayed, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me.
Rick, it wasn't the pain. It wasn't even the spiritual separation of his father. He's going to have to go to hell.
That was the cup.
And no other human being has gone to hell and suffered all sin. That's unjust. He went in there, he suffered all sin, all sickness, all disease, all of it, all of the curse. He was made a curse for us, the scripture said. He was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, man, he see this thing coming.
Well, he prayed it three times. If it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. A second time he said, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. And a third time, the Gospels tells us, he said, if it be thy will, if it's possible at all, let this cup pass from me. But this was the cup that couldn't pass from him. He had to drink of that cup.
He had to drink it, didn't he?
And the Bible says that the pressure became so intense that he began to sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And as we saw in yesterday's program, Luke uses a word which tells us that Jesus was under such intense spiritual pressure. You know, people talk about spiritual warfare, but I have never met anybody who sweat great drops of blood.
Rick, forgive me, but this has to be said right here. The spiritual warfare that we go through, the devil's not in power. When Jesus met him, he had Adam's authority over the whole spiritual realm of this planet. Mm. He came against him in full authority and force that he had been. He didn't steal it. Adam gave it to him. Mm. You remember when he tempted Jesus? He said, "See all these kingdoms and all they're mine. They've been given to me, and I give them to whomsoever I will." Satan is fighting for his life. He is fighting for his kingdoms. He's fighting for everything he has. Man, there's some rough stuff going on in that garden. And he thought he had him.
And suddenly, those layers of skin begin to separate. You know, we talk about the blood. Thank God for the blood. But Jesus began to shed blood long before he was ever nailed to a cross, long before he was ever scourged.
Oh, he did, didn't he?
He was winning the battle. Really, the battle was won in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Oh, I believe that.
He made the decision he was going to drink of that cup.
Yeah.
Then Judas shows up, and the soldiers say that they're seeking Jesus of Nazareth, and Jesus said, "I am he." And when Jesus said the words, "I am," the Greek word ego eimi, which means "I am that I am," he was really declaring who he was.
He was
God. There was such a blast of divine power that the Bible says the soldiers went backward, and the Greek word says they lost their footing, they wobbled, they stumbled, they staggered, almost as though they're trying to resist some invisible force that is pushing them, but they don't have the ability to resist it. And finally, the Bible says they fell, and the word fell is pipto, which means they hit the ground smack. I mean, this was no tender falling on a pillow like somebody that's slain in the spirit in church. This is like blasting back power, and these soldiers are hurled all over the place.
500-600 men just flattened right on the spot.
And then all of a sudden, Peter swings into action. Peter cuts off the ear of Malchus. Jesus heals Malchus. And Jesus says, "Don't you understand that I could call 12 legions of angels?"
Yeah.
12 legions is
72,000
angels. Well, if you think about it, in the Old Testament, there was one angel one night who killed, 185,000 men. One angel. Well, if you take that strength and multiply it by 72,000, if Jesus had been able to call 12 legions, 72,000 angels, their combined strength based on that fact meant they were able to kill 13,200,000,000 men, twice the population of the earth today.
Yeah.
That's how much power was available to Jesus. Which tells me, Brother Copeland, they did not have the power to take Jesus Christ.
He said, "No man takes my life."
But yet they took him. And the Bible says they wrapped a rope around him and they led him like a lamb would be led to its slaughter. And just as they were leading him, something else happened which most people don't see in the Gospels. But it's so interesting. A naked boy suddenly appears in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time I read it, I thought, who in the world is the naked kid in the Garden of Gethsemane? But that's what it says right here in Mark chapter 14, verse 51. "And there followed him a certain young man having a linen cloth cast about his naked body. And the young men, that is the soldiers, laid hold on him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. Well, there is only one logical explanation to this. The Garden of Gethsemane was surrounded with graves. And in fact, today, if you go to Israel and you visit that area, you will see all kinds of graves that are there from the first century. And usually the people that were buried in that area were high-class individuals. And high-class individuals were buried with a particular kind of cloth. It is the same cloth that is used to describe the cloth that they used to bury Jesus. It's the only two times this word is used in the scripture.
Well.
And so there's no doubt that it's a burial cloth. And so when Jesus spoke those words, "I am He," and that blast of power knocked all those soldiers back onto their back, right nearby there was a little boy that had recently been buried. He was in his grave. And that same power which knocked all those soldiers onto their back touched that young corpse that was wrapped in that burial cloth, and that young man came crawling out of his grave carrying his linen cloth with which he had been wrapped, and now comes walking into the midst of all of these events asking, "Does anybody know where we are? Does anybody know what is happening?" And by this time, the soldiers are getting up off the ground. They're no longer dazed by the power of God that had knocked them down. And the religious leaders look, and here is another resurrection. The last thing they needed on their hands in this moment is another legend about Jesus, that when they were trying to capture him, his power resurrected somebody from the dead. So the soldiers said, "Get him!" And the Bible says he fled from them. They were not able to catch him, but they stood there holding the burial cloth that had been wrapped around that young man.
Grave clothes.
Grave clothes.
Wow.
Now, Brother Copeland, Jesus just knocked 300 to 600 men flat on their back simply by saying, "I am." He just touched the head of Malchus, and we don't know whether he took the severed ear and put it back or whether he grew a new one. But the fact is, now there's no longer a bloody mess. Now there is a whole ear on the side of this man's head.
Yeah.
A young man has just been raised from the dead. I call it an accidental resurrection. All Jesus said was, "I am," and bam, that power started touching everything that was in the area. And that young man came crawling out of that grave. And they think they're going to arrest him? They did not have the power to arrest him. Yet the Bible says that they wrapped a rope around him and they led him to Caiaphas. And in that moment, it may have looked like Jesus was being led by the end of a rope, but in fact, Jesus was being led by the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
He knew the Holy Ghost was leading him to Caiaphas for the next phase of these events.
Yeah, the Lamb.
The Lamb.
The Lamb. Yes, sir.
It is just amazing to me when I think of the power of Jesus, that no one could take his life. He literally had to lay it down in order for them.
Rick, I was questioning the Lord about these things. And it was like God just literally slapped me with it. I saw it from that scripture I quoted earlier. He who knew no sin.
Mm-hmm.
Was made to be sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He never sinned. I never committed any righteousness. But I stop and think because of what little knowledge I have of the laws of the Spirit and the law of faith and so forth, how they function. You don't change those things. They're eternal. I thought, how did he become sin? How did he bear my sicknesses and my diseases? He was made a curse for us, Galatians 3:13. What was the process? How did that take place? And Rick, like I said, it was like the scripture slapped me. It kind of, you know, it kind of slapped you awake. He had to do that by faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. The way we have to receive healing by faith, he received our sickness, our disease, and our sin by faith. Other than that, if he hadn't, you couldn't have touched him. It had never worked on him. And think about that. That's what was happening in that garden in Gethsemane. He is by faith receiving this cup. By faith, he received the sin. God laid them on him, but he had to receive them for it to ever work. He, by faith, received sin, sickness, demons, disease, death. He became obedient to death. Oh, it's beyond human comprehension. And that's what happened in that garden. Once his faith was released, they led him out. The victory is won right there. Because they couldn't stop him. Satan couldn't. Satan no longer had the power to stop him.
Wow.
Isn't it just, it's the most marvelous thing that has ever happened, and we'll spend eternity finding out what all took place in that.
The price that he paid.
Oh, the price that he paid. Oh, Rick, think about using your divine, God-given faith, using it in its ultimate strength to receive sickness and disease and demons and fear, all of the curse, being made a curse, being made sin, to keep you and me from going to hell, man.
Wow.
It's awesome beyond description.
And just from a physical point of view, looking at what he went through after that, the mockery he went through before Pilate and before Herod Antipas and the scourging.
Oh.
The scourging. You know, next week's programs I want to get into is by his stripes we are healed.
Think about
scourging.
Right in the middle of that, man. This is what's so big. Listen to me right now. For the joy
that was set before him.
The joy of the Lord is our strength. And the scripture tells us if we will set our minds on Jesus, if we'll set our minds on what he did, our minds won't faint. And that same joy is in us right now. I don't care what the devil's doing to you. I don't care what kind of pressure. I don't care what kind of depression you're under. I'll tell you right now, you stand up and you speak that name of Jesus and just shout as loud as you can, joy! It'll break the chains off. It's not, oh, hallelujah, joy, joy, joy. Well, thank God for that. I'm not belittling that. We enjoy that. But I'm talking about the delivering power of the joy of the Lord. My God, all hell can't stand it. All of them together can't stand up against one believer that'll stand up and shout joy and thank God he did it for me, and you're not putting that on me anymore, Satan. You take your hands off of God's property. Mm. I was in the invalid room with my spiritual father, Oral Roberts. I was a student there, ORU. This is the first time I was ever in that invalid room where they'd sent me in there to help him. And
to pray for the sick.
Yeah. Oh, and in there, it was people who couldn't manage the crowds. They were ambulatory. Most, this woman dying of cancer. She couldn't weigh over about 75 pounds. Her little belly was swelled up like this, big old tumor in her stomach. And we walked over there to lay hands on her. And all of a sudden, I'm going to tell you something. I thought, my Lord God, I have heard the line of the tribe of Judah. It just made every hair on my body stand to attention. You foul, unclean spirit, take your hands off of God's property right now. Rick, she blew that whole stomach tumor out on the floor. It was about not quite big as my fist. Had tentacles. Oh, it looked like, kind of like a jellyfish. She jumped up. She ran plumb around that. Well, it was a small tent behind the big tent. She jumped up and ran around that whole room shouting, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, with her nurse running around after, thinking she's going to fall dead any second.
When he exercised authority like that, did he always get loud?
No. Only when he's told to. You know, Jesus said, I only say what I hear my Father say. Well, he's bound to have only said it at the level that his Father said it. And that's the only time I ever heard that. You just almost couldn't stand it. It's so powerful. She just blew the whole thing out on the ground. We're out of time.
It's been wonderful.
It's been wonderful, hasn't it? Brother Rick and I will be back in just a moment.
I grew up in a show business family. My mother was into astrology. She would read the I Ching. We were into that kind of stuff, you know, Hindu reincarnation. My husband grew up Baptist, and when he was like 16, he had said, well, I don't believe in you anymore. And so when we met, we both were spiritually a mess. We just didn't know what we believed in, and it kept us up a lot of times, and we go through spells of trying to figure it out. I was married 10 years. And we had two children. We knew a spiritual side of the earth was, but we didn't know what we believed about God. My husband was in sales at that time, and he traveled around. And he went, he talked to this customer to have lunch with him. Well, the customer happened to be a spirit-filled believer, and he knew where Stan was, and so he started talking to him and telling him about Jesus. So 5 hours later, he comes home. He looked like he'd seen a ghost. And he said, we're in so much trouble. He said, Jesus is the Son of God, and we don't know him. We haven't been serving him. And I said, what? You know, it's like, what? We were sitting at the end of the bed, and we said, we don't know about you. My husband said, but we're going to find out. We know we're in trouble. We know you are the Son of God. And so we're going to take this time now and figure out who you are and what you want us to do. And when he got through with that, the power of God hit the bedroom. We started shaking. Peace just hit us. We hadn't experienced any peace in a long time. The next day, we woke up, and we were totally different. And we just had this peace stayed around us. The fear died. Being afraid of dying died. We knew that we were eternally with God, and we had a joy that we couldn't even talk about. And for 31 years, we have not backed off of God. We haven't backslidden away from Him. We have sought Him. You get a relationship with the Lord, and there's nothing like it. The world has nothing, and Jesus is real.
Jesus willingly endured savage beatings, unimaginable disrespect, and crushing humiliation for those He loved and those who hated Him. Christ's amazing love for us inspired Him to give everything He had to pay a debt He never created. Pastor and Bible teacher Rick Renner unpacks the last hours of the life of Jesus in the devotional Paid in Full. Rick's extensive research of the scriptures and translations of the Greek and Hebrew texts bring Jesus' last hours before his crucifixion to life, combining revealing personal stories with the biblical account of Jesus' death and resurrection. This devotional illustrates the fact that Christ's suffering paid the price, and his resurrection gives you the victory to live an abundant and victorious life. Jesus handled the hard part to leave an example for us to follow. Paid in Full is a devotional that provides the evidence that you are free and your debt has been paid in full.
Gain insight into the love Jesus has for you. Order Rick Renner's new book, Paid in Full, for only $14.99. Go to kcm.org/TV special, call our toll-free number 1-800-600-7395, or write to us today. The cross was God's plan to redeem man from Satan's authority. Jesus paid the full price for your redemption. What happened from the cross to the throne changed everything. For an additional 10% off, order your copy online.
You can see why it's so important to get Brother Rick's new book, Paid in Full. This is a daily devotional for 30 days leading up to the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. It's important. Get it in your heart. Get it in your mind. Be ready to witness to people. People come to church that hadn't ever been to church before in their life during these times. And you, particularly pastors and preachers, I'm telling you, it's time to rock this thing back, praise God, and preach what happened from the cross to the throne and the total defeat of hell and all of these things. Whew, glory to God. Now you can see why you need this new book of Rick's. It is powerful. This is the reason why. You can't fragment what Jesus did. Spirit, I'm telling you, it covered spirit, soul, body, finance, social, all of it. Wherever there was a curse, He redeemed. He has abolished death and given us the victory over it. Glory to God. You need to get this. Father, we pray over this radio and television audience all over the world. Open the eyes of our understanding and fill our hearts with light about what You wrought for us when You raised Christ Jesus from the dead. Mm. Thank You for Ephesians 1, 16 through 20. We praise You for it in Jesus' name. We're celebrating 35 years, this BVOV on television. Glory to God. Amen. And don't forget, we got a 24-hour prayer line on this property too. Well, we'll see you tomorrow. Until then, this is Kenneth and Rick reminding you again that Jesus is Lord.
Continue to grow in God's Word and build your faith. This week's Believer's Voice of Victory is available on DVD or CD at kcm.org. Receive God's great grace abounding toward you and live in the blessing. Come to a Kenneth Copeland Ministries event. Living Victory Orlando Faith Encounter, Champions Gate, Florida, April 18th through 19th with Kenneth Copeland and Dr. Stephen and Kelly Swisher. Living Victory Las Vegas Faith Encounter, Henderson, Nevada, May 30th through 31st with Kenneth Copeland and Dr. Stephen and Kelly Swisher. The 2014 Peru Victory Campaign. Kenneth Copeland will be in Lima, Peru, June 6th through the 7th at the Eduardo Dibos Coliseum.